Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, people. I'm your host, Ian Mackey, and then I'm bringing along my co-host, Mace Boom Coon, my homeboy, Bob Antones. And today, we are the sports team, and the next day, and the next day after that. But yo, NBA Finals is still going on. Game three was Wednesday night. My day's getting mixed up, sorry. Wednesday night was game three, and the Cavs put it on them. I'm talking about straight out the gate. Smackdown. Like Ike Turner with Tina in the sound booth. That's how the Cavaliers that go to state. So, man, give me your thoughts about game three on Wednesday night, man.
The Cavs finally showed up. That's what I think. They came out playing. They came out desperate. You know, it was 2-0. Golden State, they came out desperate. They came out playing hard. They got to come out tonight the same way, though. But game three, they showed that they are in this series. They needed their victory, so they came out and played hard. But we're just going to see what happened game four. But we're going to recap game three right now, though.
Yeah, but, I mean, Kevin Love was injured. He was out with the concussion. LeBron played the four, which put him on Draymond. Richard Jefferson came in, gave him a spark, hit a three early in the game, got a dunk. I mean, that lineup really should be their lineup from here on out. Like, in the offseason, like, if they could move Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love, that's down the line. But last night, that lineup made the Cavaliers go. The other night, that lineup made the Cavaliers go. Now, Kyrie showed up. LeBron showed up. J.R. Smith showed up. I mean, everything came right in line for the Cavaliers last Wednesday night.
It came in line, but do you think Kyrie and J.R. Smith going to have another game like they had to win tonight? Because, J.R. Smith had 20, Kyrie had 25. I think Kyrie can have another game like that, but the question is J.R. Smith going to have another game? And another question is Kyrie going to play, going to be in on defense like he was? I mean, he wasn't the best defensive player, but he didn't play bad defense like games one and games two. That's the question for the night, though.
Now, I also thought when I was watching Kyrie play defense, Kyrie reminded me of the first time you start talking to a girl. Like, you're sure the guy you want to be. You're texting a good morning, you're texting a good night, you're texting all night. I'm like, come for a quarter. Kyrie going to be Kyrie. Like, after that first couple of dates and you've been dating this girl for a couple months, the real you going to come out. He's going to stop hustling hard around the pick. But so Kyrie's credit. He played hard that whole game. Now, I thought he was going to be the real him after a while because we know Kyrie ain't going to play no defense. But Wednesday night, he played defense for four quarters, for the majority of it. He had some lapses here and there, but for four quarters, I saw him really try to play defense. And if J.R. Smith show up again, I mean, they're home. I expect for him to play better at home than on the road. But 20 points, no, I could see him scoring 12, maybe 13 points, scoring 28. LeBron may have a monster game, but my whole train of thought is I'm still waiting for Kyrie to have that one game where he says, I'm an elite scorer in the NBA. Like, I want to see a 48-point game out of him. And I know I probably not going to see it this playoffs. Maybe I'll see it in a couple of years when everything clicks with him. But the Cavaliers, this is a must-win tonight. You got to come in with the same mindset of we're down 0-2 in the game four. And if I'm LeBron, I'm preaching the same thing I preached game three. Follow me. LeBron leads the way, and the Cavs have got to just come out and go to Golden State and just lock in defense. They truly have to lock in defense because I feel like you're going to see a different Warriors team. Maybe Steph will get going, shoot a couple threes early. Klay may get going. But the Cavs have got to attack early. Early and fast. They got to be fast. But what I said in the last broadcast was play hard. Play as hard as you can and be focused for 48 minutes, and the Cavs show up on top. What you think, Van?
Well, hopefully for the Cavs that Kyrie will have this game. You know, he will put this person out there. He's trying to play defense for the rest of the series. The 25 points, you're saying, you know, you hoping he get 28 or more points. I think Kyrie has that game in him. One, maybe two games this series, he can get 30 points. J.R. Smith, There's no telling about J.R. Smith, man. You just know how he just plays sporadic sometimes. So that 20-point game might be an aberration. He might come out and score 30 himself. You never know. Or he might score 8. I just want them to play hard defense. And really, you know, I'm kind of biased toward the Cavs. I'm kind of rooting for the Cavs a little bit. But I want them to come out, both teams to come out and have a good game, not a blowout. I want to see a good game all the way through. But we need to talk about your boy Steph Curry a little bit, man, how he fell off, how he hadn't been playing good this series. You know, a lot of Steph Curry, you know, he get away with a lot of, you know, games if he don't play good. You know, he supposed to be hurt, his knee hurt. His knee wasn't hurting. He was scoring all the points against Oklahoma City. So now he's hurt, though. I mean, I've been hearing people talk all day about Steph Curry hurt. He ain't playing the same.
You know,
why he get a break?
We tend to give Steph Curry a pass, and not me as a media. I'm not a media member or at all, but the media tends to give Steph Curry a pass. I don't know why, but LeBron had these games where he scored, you know, not so many points. He scored like 19 here, 10 there, but we tend to give Steph Curry a pass. I don't know why. He's the first unanimous MVP, and I always say, if you get somebody that unanimous MVP, hey, you better make sure that he's the unanimous MVP, because he's not playing like it. He's not playing like it at all. And I don't want no excuses about he's hurt, he's 85%. Ain't nobody 100% this time of year. Nobody is 100%. Nobody. This time of year, 82 games, all these 12 games, nobody's 100%. If LeBron scored 11 points, 5 rebounds, and 6 assists the first game, we'd be killing him. Straight killing him. The king is dead. Or they cut off his head. But Steph, oh, man, you know, he hurt, or, oh, man, they won anyway. But you're supposed to be the man. You're supposed to. Now, when you win the game, you get a pass to a degree. I will give you that. When you win the game, but it ain't Barbosa's job to come up on the road. It ain't Harrison's Bowen's job to show up on the road. It's not their job. Their job is to play well at home. That's what role players do. They don't play well on the road. You can look throughout the history, the analysts of basketball, you can look throughout the history. Most role players don't play well on the road. Now, the sixth man of the year may play well on the road, because he's sixth man of the year. You may have that one player that comes off the bench that just plays well on the road. That's who he is. It's in his character. But he could be a starter on another team. But your star is supposed to show up on the road. Unanimous MVP, back-to-back MVP, don't show up on the road. It should be 2 years in a row where Andre Iguodala gets finals MVP and Draymond Green is in the chance to win the finals. You're supposed to be the star. Unanimous MVP. You're supposed to be the leader of the league. You're supposed to be some people say, hey, he could be better than Jordan, which is blasphemy, but
you have people out there
that really do think those things. That truly do think those things. And you know, you wanna just keep in mind that, you know, well, when you criticize LeBron, you gotta criticize everybody else. They so quick to attack LeBron, and maybe because he's 6'8", 260, 270, and he don't look like a regular Joe. Steph Curry, what, 6'2", maybe?
6'2", 185.
Like, yeah, approachable. He's an approachable black man. Like, let's be honest, he's an approachable black man that people can, you know, relate to.
Yeah, but
so, you know,
when the game started, though, man, I mean, you can't be worried about that. What I'm saying is Steph Curry, he just did this big pass, though. I mean, like you said, his shot ain't on. I mean, he shot what? What was his percentage last game? He shot 6 for 13, 3 for 9 from 3-point line. Only 13 shots, and you supposed to be the man. That's not enough shots. You know, you got to look at a person like Harrison Barnes. I feel like, you know, Harrison Barnes played such a good game, he should have kept feeding the ball. He was 7 from 11. 2 for 5 from the 3-point line. He had 18 points. Steph had 19 points. Steph needs to show up, though. The only way they're going to win this game, Steph and Klay Thompson show up. Because if they're relying on, like you said, Barbosa, Draymond Green, we did see the real Draymond Green, to me, last game. What did he have? 6 points? How many rebounds did Draymond Green have?
7 rebounds.
That's the true Draymond Green. Game 2, Draymond Green was an aberration. 28 points, you'll never see that again. But like you said, he is probably in the lead for the MVP, you know, with this series being 2-1 because he has played harder. He's played better. I ain't going to say he played harder, but he has played better than Curry or Thompson in this series.
Yeah, you just got to be mindful. But also, you know what, heading into game four, more than anything, what Tyronn Lue will do about Kevin Love. Now, if Kevin Love clears the concussion protocol, I don't think Cleveland will hold him off for game four just to see if they can win without him. But I honestly feel Cleveland only had 3 bench points in game three. 3 bench points. If you could convince Kevin Love to sacrifice for the team, come off the bench, and just this series, like, they play with him in the starting lineup. I'm not saying next year he sits on the bench the whole playoff just for this matchup, because he doesn't match up well in the series to start. But he can do a lot more for them coming off the bench. Like, to me, I feel like he can give them a bench spark. That way you can take LeBron out, put Kevin Love in, then get LeBron some rest, take Kyrie out, put LeBron back in, then take Tristan Thompson out and put Chandler Fry in. That way you got LeBron with some spaces on the floor where he can attack the rim. Well, LeBron can play point with Kevin Love out there. Then take Kevin Love out, move LeBron back up, and put Kyrie back in, and just keep adjusting the lineup. That way you keep one of the best players, one of the top 2 players on the Cavs on the floor at all times. You know, so it'd be interesting in what Tyronn Lue will do, but I honestly think that's the best decision right now just for this series. I'm not saying you shit Kevin Love to start the next season, just for this series. So they match up and they can win it, get a chance to win the NBA championship, that you bring them off the bench. Vance, what you think about that train of thought right there?
I don't think it's the offense that's hurting them. I think it's the defense. You know, Kevin Love on the switching. You, when they switch, everybody, when Kevin Love switches over to Stephen Curry, and you get, you know, his eyes light up. Klay Thompson, same thing. You know, when you switch, they take him to the hole, they shoot jumpers in the face. His defense is the one that's hurting him. I mean, game one, he played decent on offense. Game two, you know, he got a concussion, so you really can't, you know, judge that game. Man, game three, everybody, when they switch, they stay with their man. Richard Jefferson, as old as he is now, he stayed with his man going to the hole. Kevin Love and let people go by. I mean, when you add Kevin Love and Kyrie not playing that great of defense, you got too many holes. You can't – LeBron too stressed out. You can't hold everybody. And see, that's when Draymond Green, that's when you get Barbosa. That's when Iguodala get open jump shots. They didn't have these open jump shots game three. That's why because of the defense.
Well, yeah, I would say it was still close, but I mean, you got to give up something. So you got to give up open shots to Iguodala or Draymond. You just can't give up wide open 30 minutes where they can sit, gather themselves. Open shots, yes, but not. I mean, you have to give up something. My thing is, you're going to give up something to a team, to any team. When you play defense, you got to give up something. And Draymond Iguodala shooting threes, yes. But, I mean, Cleveland was more aggressive with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson off the screen and bumping them and constantly keeping in contact with them, staying attached to them at all times. But you just really hope come game four that Cleveland has the same type of intensity and that, you know, that they play better. If Steph Curry keeps having games like this, I think people are going to look back at this unanimous MVP thing and be like, yo, man, maybe we all shouldn't have voted for him. Because, you know, LeBron has a chip on his shoulder about all this. Like this is the guy you want to give unanimous MVP to? And I've been doing this work this whole time. And I understand MVP is about the regular season. I get that. But the same way they looked at Jordan when Clyde Drexler won MVP that year in the NBA Finals, Jordan balled hard. And everybody like, see, Jordan should have been MVP. Just give that guy the same respect that you would. You know what I'm saying? Give Jordan, like, come on now. Like, let's just all, like, people like, oh, but it's about the regular season. But when it was MJ, MJ got skipped over. Everybody was like, see what he did to Clyde Drexler in the finals with 6 threes. Like, he was proving the point that he wasn't, that I'm the MVP, not him. He may have had a good regular season, but y'all gave it to him. He didn't earn it. And Steph Curry earned it. Don't get me wrong. He earned MVP this season. But MVP, to me, is still about making doing stuff in the playoffs, too. Like, yes, it's about the regular season, but we all know MVP, you better be MVP throughout the whole season and playoffs. Because if it's the MVP about regular season, then Kobe should have won it the other year Steve Nash won it. Because Kobe should have, too, if you want to make it about regular season and how good a player has been. Like, it changes. Like, the MVP criteria changes according to who you like. It ain't consistent.
Well, I don't know about that Kobe getting MVP. Maybe Shaq should have got MVP that year. But you said something about Jordan getting MVP, Clyde Drexler getting MVP that year. Well, I mean, you got to look. Same thing happened with Jordan and Barkley. Barkley got MVP that year. The Bulls won the championship. But LeBron, yeah, he probably thinking about that. He got that in the back of his mind. But the thing is now just to win these games.
I wanted to get that off my chest about the criteria changes every time someone MVP. Well, you know, your team has, like, at one point, it was a team goal. You know what I'm saying? Like, your team had the best record. Like, it wasn't so much saying about the best player, dominate, you know, now they're changing the criteria. Well, you know, it changes every time to fit who the MVP is. But, you know, I just wanted, you know, people like, oh, well, it's a regular season award. No. We want to see you be MVP throughout the regular season, the postseason, the whole nine. I don't want just a regular season MVP. I want the MVP the whole time.
So you want the rule change? You want to go back to at the end of the year, at the end of the finals, and say MVP or not? But you can't. I mean, that really wouldn't. The regular season MVP and the finals. That's why they have it separate. Regular season MVP. MVP, Finals MVP. I mean, do I think Steph Curry deserves MVP this year? I guess he could have got it, but unanimous? No, I really don't think so. Unanimous.
I wouldn't be so hot about it if it wasn't unanimous. I probably wouldn't be too hot about it if it wasn't unanimous. I'm not in a first unanimous. Like, I think that's probably what eats at me the most. And it's not his fault. Everybody votes. I blame the writers more than anybody. But
you blame who?
The writers, the people who vote, more than anybody. Because the first unanimous, like, okay, I get it. I get you want to make somebody unanimous. Like, but it had to be him. It had to be the guy that is a – like, you're Steve Nash one. I think a writer, one of the sports writers, like, he wrote it because he could do what Steve Nash did. No, you couldn't. Just because y'all are the same height and y'all have long hair, y'all dress the same, and he looks like you. And yes, his team was good, but he wasn't better than Shaq or Kobe in those years, and he won it because he's more relatable. I think people tend like people better because they're more relatable. He could be an uncle, he could be a friend, or like when Bush became president, I think a lot of things I've heard that he's one of the guys you can have a drink with. I don't want a guy I can go have a drink with to be my president. I want that. That's not the criteria, but I think. The criteria change as society changes. And I think in our society now, people want to have more fun with you. Like, people don't want to be parents no more. They want to be a friend. No, my mom wanted my friend. She's my parent. And I think we got too comfortable in society. And we allow too much.
Well, that may be true. But, you know, going back to the game, what you think that the Cavs need to do to win this game tonight?
Play like they did last night. Play like they did the other night. Play hard. Hold on, Vance. We got a caller. Hold on right quick. All right. Hello. Welcome to the Sports Fiend Show. Who I'm talking to right now? Hello? Caller? All right, Vance. I don't know what happened to that caller, man. I was trying to get the caller on. But what I think the Cavs do, play hard. Be focused. Leave it all on the court. I mean, they made all the right adjustments. I think the main thing is, like I keep preaching, like if you play hard every possession, show up, pay attention to detail. If you do that part, I think the rest will fall in place. Whether you hit shots or not, just play hard. Don't be looking at the refs. Don't be looking for calls. Just play hard. Get back. Run back on defense. And I think that's what the Cavs did more last game than they did in the first two. They jogged back. This time they ran back on defense. And that makes a difference. Because with all the cross switches that the Warriors do with the Cavs, with the switching on the pick and roll, you can get lost on defense and Klay Thompson or Kyrie, I mean, and Steph get open for threes. And that's what you don't want. You don't want them to get going.
Now, to me, what kills the Cavs is when Draymond Green gets the rebound and he hits the outlet. Now you got Klay Thompson and Stephen Curry hitting the wings. And, you know, in basketball, you were taught, like from early age, you was taught to go to the paint and then go out, you know. Like, go make sure the paint's secure, then go out. But you can't do that with
Golden State. Right.
You got
it's
to
right
go
right.
and guard the three-point line now. And see, when Draymond Green gets the ball and rebound, he hit the outlet, they already sitting in the three-point line waiting on the shot. They running to the three-point line. They not going in the paint trying to beat nobody on no fast break. Their fast break line is the three-point line. So, stop Green and or Iguodala from getting on the break, kind of like they did last game, they can stay in the game and they can be lead. But I just think that, you know, hit the rebound hard. Tristan Thompson had a decent game this last game. He hit the rebound. He had a double-double. But Richard Jefferson played good. I just think they need more of that to win this game tonight. And as far as Golden State goes, Golden State just need to play. If they're going to win, they just need to play. They need to hit open shots. When they drive and they kick, Thompson open, Barbosa, whoever come out, Harrison Barnes, they need to hit the shot. And you know Curry, you know, if his shot is on, they on.
I think more or less with Steph Curry, I like to see him bring the ball up more. But, you know, Cleveland's starting to understand how Golden State play when they throw the ball down to Draymond Green. They're not going to double Draymond. They're going to want him to score. When they throw the ball down to Bogut, they're going to let him play one-on-one. If you score over Bogut, I mean, if you score over Tristan Thompson, or you score over Draymond, both of y'all score over these guys, and so be it. They'd rather not double than you looking and you helping and Klay Thompson or Steph Curry getting a wide-open three. That's not what they want. And I think more or less for the Golden State Warriors, more ball movement. Like, I think they got too less. I think they won the first two games, and they're like, oh, we got this in the bag. And they got to get their hunger back. And maybe if they lose game four, maybe they go home and get the hunger back. But they got to find a way. Like, Steph Curry's got to find a way to get his confidence back. I don't see that dribble move he does where he goes through the leg, then behind the back, then pull up for the three. I haven't seen that. And maybe the knee is nagging him. I don't know. But at this point, everybody got injured, so I'm not trying to make an excuse. But he's got to get his swagger back. He's got to get his swagger back.
Another thing, Golden State, you know, you look back at game one and game two, who had great games? Well, I mean, who had good games? You know, you say Klay and Steph didn't really have a good game, but everybody else did. Well, you got to look at game three, even though Harrison Barnes had a good game, Sean Livingston didn't have a good game. He only had 5 points, 19 minutes. He didn't play good. Iguodala had 11 points. He was 5 for 7 from the line. I mean, but Barbosa didn't have but 5 points. See, in those first two games, they were killing. They were killing the Cavs. The bench was
shooting outrageous percentages. Barbosa didn't play that much, and I was tweeting during the game like, I don't see enough Barbosa. Like, even though he played 17 minutes, the 17 minutes I seen, I felt like he wasn't there. Even though he had 8 points, I felt like he wasn't there. But I didn't feel the effect of a Barbosa game. Like, when you see him run up, he'll do a move. But when Harrison Barnes have a good game, I want to see a game. If the Warriors are going to win, Harrison Barnes got to have a good game, Klay and Steph. That's how they win this year. Like, you're going
to
need Harrison Barnes.
I know the first two.
He's the X Factor. Like, the other night, Harrison Barnes had 18 points, 8 rebounds. And they lost by 30. But Steph didn't show up. Neither did Klay. And Draymond had a somewhat Draymond game. But I don't think, even after the series, if the Warriors win, I don't think Harrison Barnes stays. Like, he just doesn't feel comfortable. He just doesn't feel comfortable. Like, he hasn't found his niche in this team. He hasn't found his groove where when to get his shots. I think he don't have that James-worthy effect. Like, you know, James knew Kareem was going to get his. And Matthew was going to get his. But
he also was
in the Florida game when he hit his. Like, he knew
that's
me.
Right.
And I think Harrison Barnes ain't figured that out. If he's the third wheel, and I like, even if he's the fourth wheel, when to get his shots off. He hasn't found that groove yet, that flow in the game. And maybe he can go somewhere else and figure it out, but right now I just don't feel that I haven't seen a game where Steph, Clay, and Harrison Barnes all got out.
Well, really, truly, I think Harrison
in the regular season, yes,
something.
but not during this playoff run.
Yeah, but like I said, I think Harrison Barnes will be a star somewhere else. Even if they win or they lose, I think his time's up in Golden State. I think Harrison Barnes needs to go to another team. Washington, if Durant don't go home, he go to Washington, Philly, anywhere, though. Anywhere somebody needs a two or three, Harrison Barnes can fit in well. I think his time's up, though. It's his time. He has proven that he is a good player. I mean, he was rated number one player coming out of high school. He didn't do all, he didn't show that capability in North Carolina, but he showed he can play. But now I think he's getting it. He's getting his groove. He's confident in his own game. I think it's time for him to go. I'm not saying he's going to be another James Harden, but he might be pretty close.
I just find it interesting that game four is here, and we could finally get, and people are like, I want to see close games. I want to see it go seven. I don't care about close. It could be, every game could be a blowout to game seven. Game seven could be the greatest game ever played. But, I just want to see a long series. I want to see two teams battle hard, try to go for a championship. And game seven. And I'm like, I'm going to have my popcorn ready, and I want to see the best of the best players go at it for the NBA championship. And win, lose, or draw, whoever loses the series, to me, it don't damage neither LeBron's or Steph's career if they keep playing the way they play. Like, they're great players. Now, you're not going to win every championship. Michael Jordan didn't go to every championship, even though he went to six finals and won six championships. But every year you're not going to the finals. Every year you're not.
But when he did
not
make
going, I get that. And he took 2 years off. We don't know what would have happened in those 2 years. We just don't know. But
nah, we don't know. But it looked like he was going there too, though.
But you just have to understand it, though, that you're not going to the finals every year. And just because you don't win an NBA championship, even if you go to the finals, don't make you a horrible player. Don't make you the worst of the worst. It just doesn't. Like, if LeBron loses, that doesn't mean he's not a top 10 player of all time. No, because a lot of teams will take LeBron right now. Every team in the NBA will take LeBron. If you say, yo, New York, Brooklyn, you want LeBron, they're going to say yes. So just because he doesn't win a championship this year, don't make him a bad player.
I don't make him a bad player, but he's only won, two finals out of six tries? I mean, it doesn't make him a bad player. I mean, it wouldn't hurt Steph to go 1-1 in the final. But LeBron, it's kind of getting to that point, like, you've been all these finals and you come so far and you don't get the championship. Even though he's going to Miami.
You can't do it by yourself.
It's all his fault. You can't do it by yourself. But, he's been there. Numerous amount of times, six times.
Yeah, you can be all you want, but he ain't got no help.
Be half and half. Well, he had help. He had enough help to get there. So why he have enough help to win the championship?
Hey, you can say that about the Thunder. Like, they got help to get there, but James Harden didn't show up in the finals.
Hey, that's when Durant was supposed to take over. He's supposed to be the man.
Yeah, but you at least want him to show up in the finals. Like, hey, we're ready here. I want you to show up while you're here. Put on some clothes, come outside, come play with it. But James Harden didn't show up.
It wasn't all James
Harden. And to this point, and to LeBron's credit, J.R. Smith, Kyrie, or Kevin Love didn't show up in the first two games.
No, they didn't.
You can ball out
the ball. LeBron didn't.
You need somebody to come with you. But you shouldn't need other players to show up. You shouldn't need other players to show up.
LeBron had good games in game one, game two. Like, he was just.
I'm just saying in general. You can't, just because he goes 2-6, 2-5 or 2-4, if he loses the series or not, does not define his career. Does not make his career horrible.
I'm not saying it makes his career horrible.
I think sometimes we take for granted stars and good players and not appreciate them while we have them. Like, I think Ali is the greatest example in his funerals today, but this is kind of ironic, that we don't appreciate stars while we have them. Like, not in their prime, not while they're great. We don't appreciate them. And even though I'm not a LeBron fan, I understand that you have to appreciate when I – like, six straight finals, I'm very appreciative. Like, I'm not a fan. I'm not a Cavs fan. But if I was seeing Kobe go to six straight finals, even though he didn't win all of them, that's an accomplishment in itself. Like, if you ask any player that played for Detroit or the Pacers or any fan base, would you be all right if your star player took you to six straight finals? They'll take it. They may not win them. You ask Sacramento, y'all go to six straight finals. Would you be all right with that? Win or lose, would you be all right with that? You got to appreciate a player like that. I mean, some people may not like him. Maybe arrogant, he's flop. But, I mean, he does a lot for the community. And when you get old, you can say, hey, man, I've seen some pretty great players. Like, my dad always talked about Oscar Robertson and seeing all that and all the great players and George Gervin. And, you know, the way he talks about it, it's like, man, I wish I would have seen that, because the way he talks about the game and how they play, it sounds like art. It sounds like something like I've seen the Picasso, I've seen the Sistine Chapel being painted by Michelangelo. And it's like, and you hear him talk about it, he's like, yo, so when I get old, I'm like, yo, man, I've seen LeBron, I've seen Steph, Clay, I've seen the Splash Brothers. They, the best backcourt of all time, they just shoot it from anywhere, deep, 40 feet, 50 feet, they can lie. Jordan jump from 3-point line. Like, we have that now. Like, your dad, Oscar Robertson scored a triple-double for a whole season. You know what I'm saying? We get excited for 17 triple-doubles in one season. This dude did it for a lot of games, 82. So, you know, to have an appreciation of players like that, it's a beautiful thing. And I commend LeBron for all he's done, six straight finals. I'll take it right now. If we go to six straight finals now with D'Angelo Russell and Jordan Clarkson, which will never happen, and Julius Randle, and lose, I'll take it. It'll be my summer. I'll be hurt, but I'll take it. I'll take it.
But man, I'll take it.
Win, lose, or draw, I'll take it. No ifs, ands, buts about it. But, man, it's been a great show. We got a couple seconds left, so I just want to say, you know, I appreciate everybody who listened. This has been fun, but we got to go. Vance, we'll be back next Tuesday to discuss more basketball, and we'll see you guys next week. Vance?
It's been good.
Been good.
Next week.
All right.